Lightning struck several ships, igniting gunpowder magazines, causing explosions and fire. They prayed and they fasted.
You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on October 9, 2024, and is titled, When Imitators Rule. Grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
Let me find another one here. Page 40. Let's see what we got going on here. Hey, y'all wonder why I show up so fired up. I read this little book every day, and then I got my Founder's Bible. And I'm telling you, when I walk out of the house in the morning, I'm ready to charge hell with a water pistol. Now I'm ready to go. On March 7, 1776, General William Howe had planned to attack the Americans, by landing 3,000 troops and charging up Dorchester Heights. But a violent snowstorm arose, causing the sea to be turbulent. The attack had to be abandoned. General Washington wrote his brother on March 31st, 1776. Upon their discovery of the works next morning, great preparations were made for attacking them, but not being ready for the afternoon and the weather, getting very tempestuous, that this most remarkable interposition of Providence is for some wise purpose. But here's what preempted that. Thursday the 7th, March 7th, 1776, being set apart, this providence as a day of fasting, prayer, and humiliation. And the storm came and wiped them out. God used the weather. 47. So then, in May of 76, George Washington did this all the time. The Continental Congress, having ordered Friday the 17th to be observed as a day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer, to humbly supplicate the mercy of Almighty God that would please him to pardon our sins. And then the general commanded all officers and soldiers to pay strict obedience to the orders of the Continental Congress. This is your Congress. In 1776, the ruling authority calling for a day of prayer, fasting, and humiliation. And the general commanded his troops to observe by their unfeigned pious observance of their religious duties, they may incline the Lord and give her a victory to prosper our arms. And so, British Howe had trapped the American troops on Brooklyn Heights with their backs against the sea. That night, Washington made the desperate decision to evacuate his entire army by ferrying it across the East River to Manhattan Island. The sea was boisterous where the British ships were, but providentially calm in the East River, allowing Washington's boats to transport troops, horses, and cannons. As the sun began to rise, half of the American troops were still in danger. But a miraculously thick fog lingered, blocking the evacuation from being seen by the British. As the dawn of the next day approached, those of us who remained in the trenches became very anxious for our own safety. This is Washington's chief intelligence officer wrote this. And when the dawn appeared, there were several regiments still on duty. At this time, a very dense fog began to rise off the river, and it seemed to settle in a peculiar manner over both encampments. I recollect this peculiar providential occurrence perfectly well, and so very dense was the atmosphere that I could scarcely discern a man at 6 yards distance. We tarried until the sun had risen, but the fog remained as dense as ever. General Washington was on the last boat. I love that guy. He's the last one on. And he said, the British never again had such an opportunity to capture the entire American army at one time. Had the Americans not been able to evacuate, they would have been captured and Washington would have been hung. America would have continued just as another colony in Britain's expanding global empire, along with India, Kenya, Egypt, South Africa, and Australia. General George Washington wrote August 20, 1778, undergoing the strangest vicissitudes that perhaps ever attended any one contest since the creation. The hand of Providence has been so conspicuous in all this, the course of the war, that he must be worse than an infidel that lacks faith. What he's saying is you're worse than an infidel if you don't believe it. But it will be time enough for me to turn preacher when my present appointment ceases. Samuel Adams addressed the Continental Congress on August 1st, 1776, and there are instances of, I would say, an almost astonishing providence in our favor. Our success has staggered our enemies and almost given faith to infidels. So we may truly say it is not our own arm which has saved us. The hand of heaven appears to have led us on to be, perhaps, humble instruments and means in the great providential dispensation which is completing. This great experiment called the United States of America, one nation under God, where every man is free to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to lift up the name of Jesus, to train your children up in the way they should go and the way you desire, to live your lives free, free from tyranny, free from bondage, true freedom, the freedom that comes from a son whom sets the captives free. Last story. Says right here that they, which one, let's see. Oh, yeah, this is Valley Forge. This is the reason I pulled this one up. Valley Forge. And God intervenes. A lot of people know the history. A lot of people learn from that. Trained men in war from the pattern of Valley Forge. One guy talked about how the bravery of men who were found naked without a blanket, who'd been hungry but still continued to fight, had no quit in them. They became the example. They wrote down in history and how God kept things intact, and said the Honorable Congress, having thought proper to recommend the United States of America to set apart Wednesday, the 22nd, to be observed as a day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer, that at one time, with one voice, the righteous dispensations of providence may be acknowledged, and his goodness and mercy towards our arms supplicated and implored. The general directs that the day shall be the most religiously observed in the army, that no work shall be done thereon, and that several chaplains do to prepare the discourses. And then Washington declared to go on and do that every Sunday. I want to show you something, and it ain't easy for me to do. There's a guy that's probably listening tonight that spoke something into my life and didn't even know he was doing it when he did it. As I've pondered the word humiliation, the humbling of ourselves, what does that really mean? What does that really look like? And I knew I had to get on my knees. I had to get down. So for the first time in a long time in my barn last night, yesterday afternoon, I got a family that needs prayer. I got a country that needs prayer. Shoot, I need prayer. I got down on my knees and it hurt. I told Robin I thought I was going to have to roll around like a turtle just to get up. But when you study Valley Forge, it started just like this. Every picture of George Washington at the Valley Forge battle, he was on his knees, humbling himself before Almighty God, knowing that the providence of God would deliver the people of God, that the providence of God would assist the armies of the United States of America in the endeavor for freedom that had been birthed in the hearts of men 200 years prior to this moment. That men and women had been risking their lives and risking their families all for the freedom to worship Jesus. It took guts to do what they do, and it took a lot of faith to have that much guts. George Washington was one man who kept rallying the troops time and time again. You know, I didn't know the other day, once the Revolutionary War was over, old George got to go home and took a break, and here in just a minute, Britain wants to raise their ugly head again, and they got to go get him to come back. You know what he said? Okay. Okay, believe we will. So we did it again. I want to tell you something. God hears you. And God will protect you. And God will watch over you. And I don't care who's driving a helicopter into what clouds. I don't care who's dreaming up what. I don't care what voices are behind Joe Biden. I don't care what kind of evil regimes. I don't care what our government's doing behind the scene. I don't care about the conspiracy theories. I don't know which ones are which. I don't care, because you know what I care about? There's a God that sits above it all. There's a government that rules above it all. And I can talk directly to him. I know what he's thinking. I know what he's saying. I know what he'll do. I know what faith will do. I stood on the back porch of my house in Canyon, Texas one day when there's a tornado coming over the hill, and you can see it coming straight across there just like tornadoes do. I grew up in Oklahoma in a trailer house on top of a hill. I know a little something about tornadoes. We sat right out in the yard and watched them my entire growing up life. Most of them moved from the southwest to the northeast most of the time. This one was coming from the southwest and coming directly to my house, and I could see it. I stood on the back patio. I think you were there with me. And I held my hand up, and I prayed in the name of Jesus that you would keep this tornado from touching my property, from hitting my home, destroying my family. In Jesus' name. This is a long time ago. I was a newbie then. I was new enough in the Lord that I believed it. That's a strong statement right there. Some of y'all have been doing this long enough, you don't have to believe it anymore. And I stood and I prayed and I watched that tornado go due north and lift. I was standing in the expo center, Shawnee, Oklahoma. A long time ago, I don't even know how long ago that was. That was quite a weekend. I remember calling Robin. Cool story, and I'll speed it up. But the night before the horse sale, I was pretty tangled up on the tailgate of my pickup out in the parking lot, helping my best friend in high school find his way to Jesus. He's gone to be with him now. So I'm really glad we had that talk and he became a believer. Just a month before that, there was a guy there in Canyon who had fallen off in a hole into water plant and concrete. And he hit the bottom like a big sack of taters. And I didn't know him very good, but God told me to go to the hospital and pray for him. So I did. When I got there, his wife was kind of mean, and I went ahead and did it anyhow, snuck a Bible in my shirt and give it to him. Ended up chewing out all of the nurses and the guys around there. He's laying strapped down on this bed and he's blue as her jacket. He ain't moving, he ain't doing nothing. They start talking about him being a vegetable and this and that and other, and I just stopped them and I said, "Hey, y'all got to shut up about that. I just prayed over this man in the name of Jesus. Now you got to shut up about that. This man going to get up." So that night while I was in Oklahoma talking to my friend about Jesus, that man walked up to the front door of our house and thanked Robin for the Bible I gave him. That was 17 days after he'd fallen out of the hole. So that next day or so, or maybe it's I don't know, a day or two into the horse sale, and when you're the guy at the front with the microphone, people think you know what you're doing, and let me just let you, the whole world know, we don't. We don't. Don't ask us nothing. We don't know nothing. And they come running in there, and luckily it was late at night, and there was only about 100 people left. And there was a tornado, a big Oklahoma tornado, coming from Bethel to Shawnee, that's straight from southwest to northeast. And it's coming at a pretty good rate of speed, and the civil people come in there. I was auctioning. We had 2 or 3 or 4 horses left. I don't know. We was kind of down at the end of the night. They come running in there and said, hey, y'all got to take cover. That tornado is coming. And the sirens was blowing and the things were going. And so I stop, and I'm up there auctioneering, and everybody comes to me, and they're all, what do we do? What do we do? What? This is a tin building like this one. It's fixing to look like a buzzsaw. And I happened to think about the bathrooms are all cinder block bathrooms. So I told everybody, I said, get to the bathrooms. And I said, get under the sink, hide under the toilets, do whatever you can, get in them cinder block spaces. And men go into women's, women go into men's. It don't make no difference. Just get somewhere. And I walked out, and there's a warm-up arena right there, dirt floor warm-up arena. And I'm standing there with some of my ring men and buddies, my pedigree man, good friend. And we're standing there looking at this, and the dirt is swirling inside the building. I mean, it's happening. And I said, boys, we got to pray. And we got in a circle, and I began to pray, and I bared down, and I said, Lord, you got to put your hand on us. You got to protect this building. This tin right here gets to going, it's going to cut everybody in two. Put your hand over us, Lord. In Jesus' name, you got to protect us. And all of a sudden, it got quiet, and it quit. It mucked out the whole town. When we finally got out of there that night, we couldn't get to the motel for the down power lines. And when I got to the motel, the roof was off the motel. Now, I don't know if you've spent the night in a motel that doesn't have a roof while you're waiting on the sun to come up, but you don't get a lot of sleep. But from the gate of the parking lot on the west side to the mucked out little airport just on the other side of the chain link fence on the east side, not one scratch. Not one car got a scratch in the parking lot. Not one piece of tin. Not one tree blown down. Not one thing happened on that little piece of property, and it mucked everything out. I had to get west of Oklahoma City the next day to buy gas. Now, you believe whatever you want to believe, but I believe one man who knows the one God can pray. Now, I'd love to tell you that every time I prayed, it happened just like I prayed. It hadn't. It hadn't. I'd be a liar if I told you that. But it hadn't done one thing to diminish my faith, believing it, standing there, doing it. Let me tell you the funnest part of that story. I'm headed home, driving down I-40. I don't even know if we had cell phones then. I guess we did because I called you about all that. I think I had that big bag maybe. And so I get to about out there to Gary or somewhere. There was a Love's. There wasn't all them truck stop stuff like it is now. So anyhow, I'm needing gas. And I get ready to go. I pull off. And here's a couple. Oh, I just realized now why this story is important. There's a couple sitting there on the get-off thing off the interstate needing a ride. I thought, ugh, they looked a little tough. They were from the Appalachian Mountains. And I just drove on by and going to go get my gas, and I started praying for them. And I said, God, you should send somebody by there to get them people. Them people need a ride, Lord. I walked around that Love's. This is no joke. Now, I was messed up. I knew I was supposed to get them. I didn't want to get them. I didn't want to pick them up, put them in my pickup. I mean, for crying out loud. I mean, it's been a rough night. So I'm walking around that love talking to God. I look like I was weirder than they was. So I'm thinking, okay, they'll be gone when I get this gas. I go back across there, going to get back on that interstate. There they are. Right there. I'm like, oh. I go by, and something supernatural happened. And I mean, I get past them, and all of a sudden, my foot just hits the brake. I just stop. I went, oh, crap, now you did it. It's a long time ago, but their name was Danny and Susie. And they'd come out of the Appalachian Mountains, was headed to Nevada to try to get work. They'd been living out. They fought that tornado in a tent in the KOA campground. The only thing they were able to save and really keep any good was the bottle of wine and the bread they took to take communion every day. And when I stopped and I backed up and I said, hey, just tell me one thing. Y'all ain't going to kill me or anything, are you? No, sir. We've been sitting right here talking to Jesus about somebody giving us a ride to Amarillo. I said, well, I'm going to Amarillo. I remember calling her when we were driving down the road. Now, you know, the phone call's been pretty wild here through the tornado and everything. And she said, how you making it? I said, oh, I'm having a blast, honey. I got my two new best friends, Danny and Susie, in here with me. You can hear them BBs bouncing around her head. Don't bring them home. Stopped and got a motel room in Amarillo, got a bus ticket. Kept in contact with them for a pretty good little while afterwards. They had some more hard luck, and we were able to help them a little bit along the way. And pretty eye-opening little weekend. Not any different than a guy like Elijah, who was able to help a widow who was in need. And found out that his provision come from his giving. And his power came from God. I'm not in a book. I'm not written down anywhere. I'm just telling you, one man, with the faith of a mustard seed, can call on God and he'll do a lot. So let me encourage you as we go forward and we get ready to get the right man in the White House and hopefully get some decent help in them other two spots. But you know what? Our chances, no matter who we get, our chances of a high level of intelligence are slim. High level of faith is slim. But we're not going to have slim faith at our house. We're not going to. And I'm not going to spend more time listening to people talk about stuff they think on the internet than I am listening to my Bible and praying to God. And I'll tell you something else I'm going to start doing more between now and the 23rd and for the rest of my life. I'm going to get down on my knees. I'm going to get down on my knees. And I'm going to see what God will do. Because I believe he'll do it. George Washington believe it. Abraham Lincoln believe it. I believe we can believe it. So, that's all I got. That's enough for the night. So, let's pray. We'll get out of here. Lord, I just want to thank you tonight. I thank you for the testimony, the words of our forefathers and the words of your Bible, all the guys that have gone before us. And I just thank you, Lord, what you're leading us to. Lord, help us, we the people, would you? Help us, Jesus. Help us find the right path to you, a right path to your favor, your presence, your power. Strip us clean. Lord, just strip us down to nothing. Let's start over. That, Lord, we walk by faith. One man, one woman at a time. Walk by faith. Take responsibility for what's under our nose. And trust you, God, to move mountains. Trust you, God, to reroute the storm. Trust you, God, to put your hand of protection over us. And do it all to the glory of you, Jesus Christ. We love you and we bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.